The same hideous features as always.
The myth, the legend, man. Thank you so much for, man, letting me do this. What a privilege.
It's all good.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, man, I've been a fan as a guitar player for years, for decades, and this album is, in my opinion, your best work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah? How do you feel about it?
I feel that, when I was doing this, I felt that I was able to really express myself in many levels of I guess, you know, really heavier stuff, and then, you know, kind of the lighter weight, more diverse than any album I've done, because I have, you know, many different influences, I guess. Yeah. But also, like, you know, I have I guess a lot of different things go through my head. Yeah. And you know, I let me see if I can make it a little more clear. Loyal to the Lawyer, let's take that one first. I'll always play songs like that. I'll always write songs like that. Some of the more nice songs, like I don't have the names of the titles right now. I think it's the third song right after Broken on the Inside. Is a little more mellow, a little more melodic. And the one after Killing Breed, right, is, I don't want to say progressive, but it's like a different territory. Mm-hmm. But I've always had it.
Yeah.
You know, to take more into a cinematic type of a way of writing, which is really what I like. I mean, that stuff. And I'd like to take it on the next album a little step further. Because I don't want to get ahead of myself on this. But the old the way songs have been written for ever has been like, you know, here comes the intro, and then there's the verse and the chorus, and then maybe another verse and chorus and a bridge and a blazing guitar solo. And I wanted to step away from that.
Yeah.
And with like Undone is another step closer to where I would like to go, with not cutting solos out, but weaving solo parts within the song.
Mm-hmm.
Like it jumping out and going like, you know, like I say, the fastest arpeggios you can play on the planet, you know, and sweeping and that kind of stuff. Is like, I wanted something to melt into the song or interweave with the song that was actually a part of the song. I can't describe it to you, but it's here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it's something that just like doesn't like jump out and just like, go like, you know, your hair goes back to here. It's like a kind of interwoven with the music, you know, and it's very melodic, and it's to me, it says something, you know, it takes you to a different place when you hear that.
Yeah.
Yes. And I guess I'm one of those guys that write in colors. I don't know. But, you know, a different flavor, a different colors to the song, a different, not just, I get frustrated with this stuff because I know what I'm doing, and I know, but I, it's hard for me to explain.
Yeah.
It's just
I can tell you this, Mick, that as a guitar player myself, right, as somebody who is, I absolutely love the guitar. I'm a fanatic for players of all different styles in that. And what I notice through this album is an intertwining of a variety of styles. But the one thing that I've noticed is that your phrasing is a lot more melodic. You're a lot more reserved. It feels like it's more intentional. It's not like it's like a normal rock song from the sense of like you just tried to describe where you got the verse, chorus, solo, back, verse, chorus.
Yes.
You're really intertwining and interweaving a lot of really cool elements. But your guitar playing is, and again, man, it's at a completely different level from my standpoint. I love melodic playing. I love great phrasing.
Me
and
too.
This album's coated with it.
Great. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. It's like that.
Yeah. Well, you can use that in
I'm glad that you get it because I can't get it out of my face. I'm going like,
Well, you know what, man? It's like, I mean, how long have you been? You've been doing this for so long, right? And it's like, at what point do you say, where's my new voice? I mean, this is a great opportunity for you to say something unique to your fans all over the world. And so, but how hard is that to go from, okay, I've been boxed in here and now I've got my own voice. How do you make that unique and really be able to say who you are through the music as opposed to, you know, try to fit that mold that everybody thinks you are? Because you're evidently not that.
No, I kind of like, you know, what you said about the traditional stuff, I really, really, really needed to step away from that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's been done like forever, I mean, forever, like take from the 50s and stuff. And it's like Bill Haley and the Comets and blah, 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 you know, and that stuff comes on and stuff. And I got to do something a little different, but without losing people, you know, I know in my mind, and I can feel it, and I can read it, and I can see it, and like it's in front of me, and I have to put it down, you know. And but it's hard for me to explain of what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, because
you know, it's been like, I don't want to say embedded, but kind of like this is the mainstream of how everything should go. And I want to go more off this beaten path off to the left some, and hopefully, I mean, like you know, you got to step off sometime and take that chance, I guess, to see if people, I think most of my fans will get it.
You know, well, I can tell you that on my show, I have around 2 million people that tune in and listen to my show. And when I announced that you were going to be coming on the show, the response was overwhelming.
Wow.
I mean, I had so many people message me and contact me. And, you know, as a matter of fact, while we're talking right now, I had posted on social media right before that I was about to do this interview. And while we're doing this, I'm watching my phone in front of me. And there's all kinds of people, you know, somebody just commented here. I'll read it to you. It says, tell him that we are fans, that we love him, and make sure he knows that. That's from a fan right now, you know.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
Because I give him all that I can give, you know, and, you know, and that makes me smile.
I'm glad. Awesome. I'm glad. Well, I love the album, you know, and I really appreciate the fact that Steve reached out to me to be able to allow me to do this. because, you know, I've done 500 interviews. I've interviewed all the top players, and I got to tell you, I'm in love with this album. Absolutely in love with this album. And I hope, and I know that you're probably not going to do a lot of shows around it, if any, but I hope you do at some point, at least do a couple, you know, because I think your fans are really going to, they're going to want that, you know, they're really going to want to see you play this. So I know I do. I was kind of hoping you'd show up with your guitar and just do a couple of the songs right here and now.
Well, you know, that's hard to do, you know, by yourself. But.
No, I know that. I was just kidding. So what do you think, you know, I mean, what do you want the fans to take away from this new project? You know, is it that you want them to see you as somebody that is, you know, really diverse, that somebody has a lot more to say? I mean, what is it that you want fans to know?
You pretty much hit it right as the diversity, number one. And number two is like that cinematic kind of music that I'm trying to really like. I know it's in my mind, it's in my head, but to put it down is a challenge to me because I haven't been able to do it. And with those two songs, you know, is an idea, but I've got a lot more of that in me, I guess.
Yeah.
And the diversity matters a lot to me too. It's like, I'm not stuck in one spot to where next album sounds the same as the first one. Next up, you know,
right.
I'm going to change it up because this next record is going to be different than this one. The only thing that's going to be the same is my name, you know, and not to step like, you know, too far away to alienate anybody.
Right.
But, you know, just to go like, oh, man, this is wow. You know, and that's what I'm really wanting to do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Not so sure everybody in the world does that, but you know.
Where are you taking your influence from when it comes to the cinematic aspects of the music you're talking about? I mean, are there certain players and artists out there that you really personally enjoy that are influencing that, or is there some other element that's influencing it?
Let me see. There's some stuff that would be more like Robert Fripp. He's progressive though.
Yeah.
Gentle Giant, they're very progressive and yes, they're progressive, but something a little less than that, that flows better, but it, you know, it I don't want to say flows better because their stuff kicks ass, but I don't want to go in that direction because I'm a very melodic player, and for people to really grasp on to where I want to take my next few years, you know, and end up at this point, and then I can go.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and this might be out there a little bit, and I'm sure as hell not comparing you to this person in any way, shape, or form, because you're completely different. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, when you're talking about melodic and cinematic and stuff like that, you know, are you influenced at all by somebody like David Gilmour or somebody in that world?
David Gilmour is a lot more talented than Pink Floyd was, but you know, and those guys, yeah. And I mean, you know, just, yeah, absolutely. It's like that kind of stuff. And maybe going back to the Maharishi voodoo band and that stuff, you remember all that stuff?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of stuff is like, kind of like, it isn't reaching so much out, but it's, I guess just enough, you know, to simple. but it says something, you know, and it's, and it, the, isn't, I mean, okay, let me get back to this one. I'm always going to have those motherfuckers that pound you in the face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I need to have, I need to express this other side of me too, which is a kind of very melodic, very like, you know, it isn't plotting, you know, it's like, it just like, you need to feel it, you know, yeah. To go through it, just to go like, wow, this is really kind of cool, you know, and there'll be some who don't like it so much, but, you know, that's where I'm headed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, I think the direction that you're in, once again, is really, really good. It's the album's super cool. I love the name. I don't know who came up with the name, but The Other Side of Mars, you did. That's so friggin' cool, man. You know, that's, you know, ingenious.
Thank you.
It's ingenious, The Other Side of Mars. I mean, that's perfect. What about the people that you've surrounded yourself with on this project?
Paul Taylor and Jacob Bunton. Michael Wagner produced, of course, and Michael and I have been buddies way before, you know, back in the Accept days before Udo moved on and stuff, you know, we've been buddies a long time, but it was almost like a, everything came fairly easy. You know, there was like some songs that we had to play around with and just for the heck of it, just like, you know, because Pro Tools is so easy. You can just like chop this part out and put that there and try this. And hey, let's try this. You know? Until we came up with something really cool, you know? And so yeah. it was pretty easy, you know? Actually, Killing Breed was probably the most difficult one to make complete because it wasn't a really clear part in there that was said something like,
yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but it came around and it's, that song was really great.
Yeah. Now, over you know, your time as a player and stuff, you know, it seems like a lot of your songs have been, you know, like a lot of other people too, in the sense that it's very riff based, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you come up with some really great cool riff and you create a song around that. Were these kind of created in that same you know, with that same viewpoint? I mean, did you come up with like the catchy, you know, riff aspects of some of the songs to create the songs, or were they created differently? Was there a different way?
Usually I you know, when I, you know, goof around with my stuff, it's like I'll come up with some riffs, yeah, and I'll leave them there. I'll just like, and move on to something else, and come back and listen. If I listen to it again, I go, what was I thinking? Or I go like, oh, that's really cool. That's really good. You know, and stuff like that, and experimenting with different tones and different things, and, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And something that really would have to, you know, this is a weird way, but inspire, like with every musician, inspire the next part. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times I only get like one part, you know, and it's like I'll go back and listen, like I said, and go like, what was I smoking that day? You know, or, you know, that kind of a thing, you know, it's like I make fun of myself or whatever. And then there's times this just goes like, wow, you know?
Yeah. As a player though, I'm curious, are you somebody that, you know, loves to play around with gear and sounds and tones? Or are you that player that you would say that I find something, I stick with it, and that's it?
I'm a little bit more than just sticking with, you know, stuff. No, I like tones a lot. I'm sure you know that. But explaining my guitar tone itself is always the basis of my song. So you know that it's, hey, that's Mars, you know.
Right.
But then, like, putting all the other stuff, there's some stuff that I've written that the guitar sounds like it's talking. Mm-hmm. And there's none on that record. The next record, there will be. You're going to be surprised.
You're teasing me now.
It's weird. I mean, because I can actually, with, you know, different effects and just playing around and goofing around, I'll hear a word or two in it. And I can go like one song that is like just a title working name. Now it's called Fear. Because when I played my guitar on these, all these weird pedals and stuff, and I played something and it sounds like Fear. So I put it together. So it goes Fear, 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 Fear.
Wow.
Like that. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I, you know, I do stuff like, I goof around with stuff, cut stuff up. Many different pedals, many different plugins, you know.
Yeah.
Is that fun?
Yeah. Well, what's available today, you know, from the guitar perspective, is it's flat out amazing. You know, the different, you know, analog versus digital, everything that's out there right now, there's just so much. I know, I'll share this with you. I went down the Dumble rabbit hole one time.
Yeah.
I can't afford a Dumble amp, of course. You know, I'm just a lowly guy doing a podcast here, you know, playing bars. But I decided to, you know, get a bunch of the Dumble pedals and try those. Now, I'm endorsed by Fuchs amps, which are Dumble-ish, you know, kind of amps. But I figured I'd play with all these pedals. And I dove in so much that I went out and I bought about 40, 45 pedals. And I spent weeks, I mean weeks, in my studio, just, you know, pedal after pedal, stacking them together, trying different, you know, configurations and stuff. Completely consumed, you know, with the sound. There's so many options out there today.
Oh, yeah.
Are you that guy? Do you get consumed with it like that?
Sometimes I get pretty locked in doing some weird stuff. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it does matter a lot about the configuration. The stuff I use on stage, if it wasn't configured the way that it is, wouldn't sound like that. You know that?
Right.
It's like, what do you want to, we'll make it really simple. What do you want to do? Wah the octave or octave the wah? You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you play around with it and do different. Yeah, that's a very, very important part of tone and how things sound and what, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So did you experiment like that in the studio while you were making this album? Or did you pretty much all have it in your head already before you went in?
I had a lot of this stuff before we even started on the record.
Yeah.
You know, of like playing around with stuff and goofing around with stuff. And it was fun.
I wonder then, how much time does Mick Mars spend with the guitar in his hand on a daily basis?
I've gone like 12 hours at least sometimes.
Wow.
I was much younger.
Yeah.
Like about, I don't know, a few hours a day.
Yeah. See, that's amazing.
Not a very lengthy time, but.
Right. Well, I read it that I loved in the press release, you know, for this new album, that you said something along the lines, I'm going to paraphrase here, something along the lines that once you stop learning, once you stop growing, you know, that's pretty much the end. So I'm guessing that by that statement alone, that you're somebody that is always looking to something new, to try something different, trying to improve yourself in some fashion, some way or form.
Yes. That's you? Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, playing the same way, the same lick, the same time all the time, it comes pretty redundant. And you go like, okay. And you dream about it. And you go like, ah.
But, you know, there's been a handful of guys that have made a very, very good career doing that, right? Yeah. There yeah. are some guys that have done that, but I don't know how you can do that as a guitar. I can't get locked in like that. It's like,
no, I no. I don't know. You know what I wanted to try really bad, and I haven't been able to do it yet. You know, the what's popular today with singers, they sing through that vocal thing, and you know, so it makes a voice. I'm gonna play my guitar through it, see what it does. But I haven't gotten one, you know, I don't have one, and see what that does just for the heck of it, you know, or maybe plug in, I don't know, a zither, you know, or a sitar or something, you know, just to come up with something not ugly, but something that you go like, what is that? It's cool, you know. Well, it could be ugly to some people, but
the sitar players, it might be ugly, but
yeah, but you know, we don't see that though.
But the guys like us that just love cool stuff, you know, that's yeah. it could be really it, cool. I love that kind of experimenting. I do. I think that that's, and you never know what you're going to come up with, right? I mean, it could be so state of the art or so cool that. Mm-hmm. You know, look at some of the stuff the Beatles and Floyd and all those guys did in the early days, you know, it's exactly. Like,
yeah,
that's really cool.
Magical Mystery Tour stuff. All that weird stuff. What?
Yeah. So I know you've probably answered this question a million times, but you've never answered it to me. So I'm going to ask it. What is it about a Strat style body that fits Mick Mars? I mean, because I mean, that seems to be the go-to body style for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. I always like Stratocasters.
Yeah.
I didn't really know how to get the real true sound of a Strat to sound good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the body style, the way that they feel, the way that they look and everything else,
mm-hmm.
grabbed me way back, you know?
Yeah.
And I played Les Pauls and stuff for the longest time, and I went, these are getting a little heavy now. And so, yeah.
So if you were going to be stranded on a desert island and you could only have one guitar for the rest of your life to play, what would it be?
Isabella, my Strat, my white one.
That's what I figured it would be. That's really cool. So another really interesting thing that I would like to know, and that is, in the formative days of Mick Mars, when you're developing who you are as a player,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the things that you think you did during that time that have made you the successful player that you are right now?
Probably the determination that I had since, I don't know how long. I started, you know, I don't know. I got really, really, I wanted to have my music on TV. I wanted to have my music on the radio. I wanted to have my music played everywhere. And I go like, when I get older, I'm going to hear that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And determination. And I fortunately was able to do that, you know, because I was always going, and that's what I wanted to do. I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know? So it's that determination, I think, that got there. Even my mom yelled at me one time. She goes, "Man, mama." You know, she was never grumpy or anything. But I told her that I didn't want to make $100 a week working a job. I wanted to make $1 million. And she goes, know, what are you talking, you know? And yeah, so that was my goal. forever, you know?
I think it takes that kind of determination and that kind of focus, you know, in the combination with having, you know, the talent to do it, because you had the talent to back it up along the way. But, you know, that's inspiring for other young players out there that are paying attention to you. And hopefully this interview and that, you know, they'll take some, because a lot of times, don't you think players focus on all the wrong things? They focus on, you know, learning scales and modes and all that other kind of stuff. And they, you know, the passion and the heart and the determination that you're talking about should be the priority.
Yeah. Well, you know, learning that kind of stuff is really cool, you know, but, you know, when you get the mindset that this is what I'm absolutely going to do, and the determination, that's to me, that's the key.
Yeah.
I'm determined to do this. I'm not going to let anybody or anything stand in my way. I've got to do this. This is what's in my heart. This is what's in my soul. I have to do this.
Yeah.
And whether it's like, you know, learning scales and learning how to read a guitar and how to, you know, oh, I'm going to play this up to here, you know, and that. Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I have to experiment, you know, play and find the spots. But to learn that stuff's cool. Yeah. I wish that I had learned something about, I mean, I have over the hundreds of years that I've been playing, but, you know. But that's it. Heart and soul, man.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
Yeah. So, you know, the last thing I want to ask before we go, because I want to be very respectful of your time, is, you know, how cool does it feel to be where you are in life? I'm talking age-wise, to still be at the top of your game, to still be popular, to still be relevant, you know, to still have something to say. How good does that feel?
There's probably no way to describe it. It's like, I don't want to say surreal, but it does, you know, it's like, almost like, I don't know. It absolutely feels, you know, fantastic that I'm able to, you know, still have so many fans or strangers or whatever go like, who's that? Or, you know, it's Mick Mars. Isn't he 120? You know what I mean? I still like my music. It's you know, overwhelming, kind of a surreal feeling. But as long as I can do what I'm doing, you know, and people dig it, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I've had an absolute pleasure talking to you. You're a fascinating person, and you've been providing the soundtrack to my life for decades, which I thank you for. And I appreciate the new music that you're doing now, because it's absolutely amazing. And I wish you all the best success.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. And that's... I hope you get out there and tour at least one day in Chicago. Okay.
Okay. You know, I can't like I say, like, put one of, if I can do one day at Chicago, then I absolutely will.
I understand. I really do understand. Mick, thank you so much for your time, and I wish you all the success, my friend.
All good, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. You take care.
Okay. You too.
Bye.